Yeah, okay, so we'll wait on approving the minutes, so, yeah, I'm gonna need public comment. Chairman's comments, just that Dr. Foster does have some scheduling conflicts in both for today and I think a couple more in the future too. Some presentations, so reproductive maternal child health, Annie?
Hi, I'm Annie. Did everyone get a copy of the presentation that wants one?
What do you like to have?
So, my name is Annie Lakatosh and I started here last April actually, so I've been here for a year now. So, and I'm gonna just give you an update on the Kenosha Sexual Health Awareness Clinic and the Women's Health Services as well. So just to give you a synopsis, starting with our Sexual Health Awareness Clinic, it goes on Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays from 1:30 to 3:30 with early check-in that begins at 1, and then on Thursdays from 9 until 11 a.m., and again, early check-in starts at 8:30. It is a walk-in basis only, so should someone present during those times, we will guarantee to see them in that day. And the tests and treatments that we offer, blood tests including syphilis, HIV, hep C, and hep A, B, excuse me. We also do cultures of gonorrhea and chlamydia that can either be cultures or we do also collect urine. The microscopic exam for women, and that's for trichomonas, yeast, and bacterial vaginosis. And then by exam, we can take cultures of herpes as well as provide HPV warranty. And then other services include pregnancy tests, urinalysis. We also provide birth control. We provide education as well as the actual supplies. We also do syphilis treatment. And then if someone is eligible for family planning only services or another type of health insurance, we will support that application and get them rolling on that. So what happens in clinic, we do have two public health nurses that help me during the clinic day, and they interview the client, so health history is very important to us. They get that. They also will draw blood for testing. They'll administer vaccines if applicable, and then they will provide education. And that swings into a QI project that we're doing. We are highlighting testicular cancer. And so for our clients that are in that age range of 15 to 35 and are male, we are providing them education as well as written information about testicular cancer screening. So that would be done at that point. When I see the client, I will examine them. I'll provide any treatment or medications that they would need. And then I will also provide further education, answer any other questions that they may or may not have. Sometimes I bring it up anyway. And then I'll evaluate if they need to be seen again, for example, in 3 months, or if the referral needs to be done, I'll do that at that time. So our numbers, we had, in 2013, we had 80 clinics, and we saw 587 clients. I averaged that out to about 7.2 per clinic. So as Gwen knows this better than I do, some days are feast and some days are famine, and the feast days are quite feast, like they're pretty robust. We do see about 42% female, 58% male, 54% white, 41% African American, and 13% Hispanic. Most of our folks are from Kenosha County, with just 3% from Racine and 8% from elsewhere. And we did give 62 total vaccines last year. We had 92 reportable positive results with 22 non-reportables, and we provided 407 treatments. As you can see, we did have one positive result for hepatitis C, one for hepatitis B, And then we do the serum blood test for HIV, as well as what's called the STAT-PAK, which is just a finger poke for those folks who either don't want to have a blood draw or for whatever reason. So then turning our attention to Women's Health Services, that's on Tuesdays by appointment. We did move last summer to a different location. We are at the WIC location. And we do provide services for women who are enrolled or eligible for the Wisconsin Well Women Program. And we will either enroll them in that program if they're eligible, or family planning only services again. One of the benefits of that location is the fact that we are at the WIC clinic, so I do go and see clients on that first floor. We're on the second floor, just to touch base with them so that they see a name to a face if necessary. So we are trying to provide services at a different location because of access to care. Thank you. Services provided, family planning services, so lots of counseling and education regarding birth planning and birth control options. I also do pelvic and breast exams. We do pap smears, breast cancer screening, and referrals for mammograms, pregnancy testing, and then STD testing and treatment there as well. So our Wisconsin Well Women Program statistics, 323 women completed screening services. 8 were diagnosed with breast cancer, 1 was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and then just to give you that number, 141 women, 49 years of age and under, received screening mammograms, and we were able to use the funds that we received through the Kenosha Women's Health Center Cancer, the Kenosha Women's Health Cancer Prevention and Treatment Fund in $21,000, so for those services for them. And then what's next? We are in the process of rolling out a colposcopy clinic. So when a pap smear is negative or is abnormal and follow-up needs to occur, that soon will be able to happen here. And I will be undergoing training for that. And that will happen here at the job center. The colposcope is actually around the corner as we speak. And then we will also be expanding our birth planning options, meaning more birth control options for women. So not just the pills, the rings, the things that we can provide to them immediately, but also methods that are dependent on provider insertion and removal. So just a step up there. And then ongoing QI projects. I mentioned the testicular cancer screening. We're also auditing our charts as one QI project, as well as doing the early check-in for a clinic on Mondays and Thursdays. Hey, does anyone have any questions? Sure.
You mentioned that we had a positive Hep B and a positive Hep C. What about HIV?
That I am not sure, and that's a good question. Go ahead, Jen. Thank you.
We do have positive results, and when we do, there's a particular nurse that does the case management, and the information is not free to everyone, and she works with the state in regards to follow-up and referral.
I was just wondering how many we had in the area.
The numbers actually come out from the state,
and
it runs around close to 3% of the population.
Thank you.
So are you looking at doing both, like on RENA and Copper IUD as well as on Planum then? You're looking at doing both?
Yes.
What is the Medicaid coverage with that for the women's health? I mean, is there pretty good coverage then through?
It is covered because it is a birth control option. And numbers-wise, that I'm not sure what our reimbursement would be from that, but definitely the RENA and the Paragard.
I just want to carry to say
yes.
that we are under a modifier through the family planning,
okay,
and we would be able to recoup more in regards to reimbursement than private providers.
Okay, but you're looking at doing the implantum also, right?
Yes,
for
the next
plan. Implantum.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, yes. That's really cool.
Yes, it is very cool, actually.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions for
Annie? I'm just curious. My recollection was that within the not too distant past, there was some controversy, if that's the right word, about the state possibly reducing some funding. Was that for the Wisconsin Well Woman Program?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, and since then, it's kind of on the boil here, that they have slowed down that process. So it was actually going to change considerably by June, and now that has
been put off for a year, I think.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. Yeah. So Pam is the nurse who works on that program in particular, specifically, and she will continue to enroll women who do meet the eligible criteria for that. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So next, Mark. Mark, you're going to do the waste treatment systems?
Yes, pulse systems, we call it.
Okay, go for it.
Private on-site wastewater treatment systems. As you know, the county reorganized a little bit last year, and planning and development had two sanitarians out there also, and they thought that we could get some more work out of them and put them in the health department. So we brought that program onto the Kenosha County Division of Health. So that allows us to get some extra work out of two more sanitarians and bring a whole another program into us. Purpose of this system is obviously it's waste from your homes, you know, is basically what we do. We have three types of on-site waste systems, and that's holding tank, pressurized tanks, and in-ground gravity systems. The first system is holding tanks, where suitable soils aren't on the property, so your waste system, Carroll Beach is a good example of that, where most of the homes down there are on holding tanks, just because the soil can't take all that extra water. So it's also the most expensive one to operate because usually every few weeks or monthly or so you're emptying or getting your holding tank pumped. So, and right now we have about 1,400 holding tanks within Kenosha County. This is our typical holding tank. I don't know if anybody knew what those were. Here where an alarm goes off and it tells the homeowner when they have to call, you know, PATH, which is the biggest waste hauler in Kenosha County, to come and empty your tank for you. The pressurized system is the mound system. That one's where you don't have suitable soils on your property, but yet you can add soils to your property and make it suitable for a system, so you won't have to be pumping every month. Here it can, it's a little more variable where you can make accommodations for small lots. The soil textures within Kenosha County, we do have a lot of clay, and that's why you have to build up your lot area to allow this mound system to work properly. It's a short and wide design, so a lot of your homes you'll see in the county that have the, you know, mound in the front, you know, of the property, because you need easy access for the tanks and that for those. Not as popular as the in-ground system, but the mound system, or this is a typical mound. As you can see, you build up the lot, so you can the sewage can go, actually the water goes to the mound in the sandy area. The sewage area gets pumped out of the tank. And then the most popular is our in-ground gravity system. That's what traditionally most people have, you know, for septic systems. Here in the leaching fields, you need a big area, you know, for the sewage to the water to be absorbed into the ground. Right now we have about 2,500 septic tanks permitted in the county. That's one of our big goals now, is we have to permit all the on-site wastewater treatment systems within Kenosha County. We have 1,400 holding tanks, we've got 3,500 mound systems. Right now we have probably about another 6,000 to 7,000 within the county that we have to get permitted. And the reason you do that, you want to keep track of their wastewater. For holding or pressurized or mound systems, you have to have them pumped once every 3 years, and we want to keep track of that. Where the holding tanks, obviously they're going to have to get those pumped. We'll get listings from the waste haulers, and sometimes the holding tanks aren't pumped as often as we would think because they might be a seasonal home, so in wintertime they won't be pumped at all. So. Here, this is an example. This is what a typical septic system is, you know, with your tank and then the leaching field, you know, out in the yard area. Permits, we do have about 80 to 100 annual permits you know, for new systems going in. It brings in about $55,000 in annual fees through the permits. So in $6,000 to $7,000 that we still need to get permitted on our system. Last one here is, this is what we're working for on our Kenosha County site. We have our homepage where waste haulers, they go on there and they put the information in there for us, what they pumped. If you want to show the next one. And you can go in and search on address, and the waste haulers go in there, they put the address in, and then they pump on, and they show how much they pumped from the property. Or if they check the septic tank to make sure that was in good order. So that's our permit system, and that's what we have to get all the other ones on. So we just started this probably since the first of the year, and it's been going really well. It's really well maintained, really, by the waste haulers. And we appreciate that. They call us if they have any problems. But here we can generate our reports now on who's actually pumping and who's not. So within the next 3 years, all the permitted ones with the septic tank will be up to date. We'll just be able to run monthly reports right from this site. So it's really, they worked about 3 years on this computer program, and it's going to help us out, you know, quite a bit, especially when we start adding all these new systems on there. So kind of waiting to see how this is going to work when you start adding systems. People that haven't been permitted before, you know, they're going to say, oh, why do I have to do this? At this point, you know, there's no fee. It's just required by the state, you know, by 2019, that we have all septic or holding tanks permitted by the county. So if you guys had any questions?
There's going to be fees, though, for building new?
Look, there's fees for building new. That's what our $55,000 is for all the permit fees for the inspections of the installation.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so can I ask the update from the lab, Megan?
My name is Megan. I am the analytic and forensic chemist now within the laboratory. Not going to go through my whole resume for you, but I did receive my Master of Science in Forensic Science, and I received my Bachelor's of Science in Chemistry. I've done specialized trainings as well as professional experience. I completed my undergrad chemistry research in Scotland, which was an amazing experience. And then I'm a part of a few professional organizations such as the American Academy of Forensic Sciences, as well as the American Chemical Society. So even though I may look 17, I swear, I promise, that I am educated as well as experienced. So just a brief introduction. So, and I'm also the person that will be preparing for the ASCLAT inspection that is coming up. And I'm not sure if you are aware of the ASCLAD program, but it is the accrediting body of the forensic section of the laboratory, and our lab does three different sections. We do clinical chemistry, environmental chemistry, and then forensic chemistry. And ASCLAD lab is the accrediting body of the forensic section. So accreditation includes proficiency testing, as well as continuing education, and other programs to help the laboratory provide more effective overall service. So the Kenosha County Division Health Laboratory was accredited under the ASCLAD Lab International as of November of 2012. I believe it was accredited under ASCLAD in a different program, but under International, we became reaccredited in 2012, which has more strict policies and compared to the former programs. This is a 5-year annual accreditation, so this upcoming inspection will just be a surveillance visit, what they do every other or every year. So these are some things that they will be looking at when they come, and the date has been set for May 16th, which is a Friday. They'll be looking for our audit records, and we conduct a quality assurance audit, laboratory audit, as well as a safety audit within the laboratory, and those were completed at the beginning of this year. They'll look for management review records. Training is one of the things that they'll be looking for in particular, and me being new, as well as another employee. So something that we've been really focusing on. So we need training records for each discipline, and our lab does two disciplines of forensic science. We do forensic toxicology, so that's primarily looking for blood drugs in the urine, as well as in the blood, and doing blood alcohols. And then we also do controlled substance identification, which is looking at street drugs, like the actual drug that comes into the lab. So we're making sure our training records are up to par. That includes competency test records, as well as proficiency test records. And the difference between the two is competency tests usually on controls, things with known quantities, whereas proficiency, we have no idea what they are, and resulting in a pass or fail. We also have to make sure that we have a courtroom testimony monitoring. We need to have those, like, at least one assessment of our courtroom testimony on file per year. So we have that. We have also been focusing on getting customer surveys filled out. So every time a detective or police officer comes into the lab, we make sure that they fill out basically a survey on how our business or laboratory is doing for their services. We've been contacting for key logs, as well as the alarm system, making sure that the show asks that our laboratory is secure, that all there's limited access for people. So we just need to show documentation that we turned the alarm on this time, turned it off, as well as people using their keys to come into the laboratory. The last thing is also corrective actions, availability of equipment manuals, showing that our equipment is calibrated, making sure all the stickers are up to date, and then out-of-date documents, either updating them or archiving them. And ASCLAD also has put two new policies as of this year. They put a measurement uncertainty policy, which states that anything that we report out with a quantitative value, so like blood alcohols, if you say a BAC is 0.150, we must have now on the reports an uncertainty factor, so it must be plus or minus whatever, as well as blood drugs and controlled substance weights. So we've been making these uncertainty budget tables, and they were completed before the beginning of this year when I was interning here. So those are up to date, as well as traceability is the other policy, and we need to make sure that all our reference standards are from a NIST supplier, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. As for the laboratory itself, here's just some stats regarding the forensics unit. This is last year's stats for the forensic toxicology, as well as controlled substance ID, and from just these 2 months of this year, and if we continue this rate from these 2 months, we'll beat last year's statistics. So that is all I have for my presentation.
I just want to share with the board that Carlton Cowie has been continuing on as a mentor and consultant for Megan, and he's still working with reviewing some documents. I think we're sort of getting nearing the end of the mentoring process. But he'll continue on to be only a phone call away if we should meet him, or Megan basically would meet him for consulting and for any needs.
Is he going to be here on the 16th?
Yes. He's doing, this will be a, no, I have not, and I would told him that I'd really recommend that he be here, so at least see how it goes and then prepare myself for the future.
Right.
So.
Right. It'd be a backup then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So, Cindy.
Just got a few items here. I wanted to just share with the board that we do have a plaque for Dr. Lux that we'll be presenting to her, and it's in recognition of her dedicated public health service as a member of the Board of Health, March 2006 to April 2014, and it's presented with gratitude by the Kenosha County Board of Health and the Kenosha County Division of Health staff. So I'll pass that around. I asked her if she were able to attend this meeting to or your meeting to collect the plaque, and she said her time is
I'm running out there this afternoon. Do you want me to give this to
her? Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank
you. I can give her this.
Okay.
So I can bring that
Nancy, to her. Nancy,
you're
another
there you go.
Item
I'll
board
do a little
issue,
ceremony.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's great. Appreciate that. Tell her how much we appreciate
okay.
her time on the board. She's been absolutely invaluable. We do are looking forward to having another veterinarian on the Board of Health, and I know that a couple of names have been submitted to the county executive, and he's been working on looking to seek someone for that next appointment. Let's see, Dr. Foster has been reappointed to the board, and Jeannie Sanchez is due actually in March, last month. So I think the county executive was looking to speak with the city in regards to if they wanted to continue with Jeannie Sanchez in that position. Remember, she's the one that's the, she's the city representative to sit on the board. That was the position that was abandoned. Let's see, last week we had our public health accreditation community health event, and it went very well. We had about 18 different presentation boards that were up in the commons area. It surrounded the commons, and it was our different programs and services that were being communicated to the community about the services that are provided here at the health department. The county executive, Jim Cruiser, and the mayor, Keith Bosman was here, and we presented them with an accreditation plaque similar to the one that we have here at the health department, and just thank them for their support during the process, including the board. We thanked all of you. I thank John, you were there, so I thank you for being there on Wednesday representing the board, and also the staff with all the great work that everyone did to acquire accreditation here at the health department. Well, we took quite a bit of pictures. We'll be sending them to the National Accreditation Board. They're putting together like a collage. They'll be putting them on their website of pictures of different health departments that have become accredited. And now we're on to the next item, which is our State 140 review. Some of you have been part of that process. The State 140 review is the compliance of health departments in regards to state statutes, ordinances, that we're performing the number of programs and services in order to maintain our level 3 category. And so we're in the process of uploading those documents. The process is going to be similar to accreditation, where we upload our documents into a shared site. We have until mid-May to get those documents uploaded, and then in June, we'll be having our site visit. It's the day after the June Board of Health, so it's June 10th. Dr. Foster is going to be present, and all of you are welcome to also attend. It'll be in the morning, 3 hours. It'll probably be fairly informal because all of our documents will have been reviewed. Any questions will be answered, and so it'll be pretty much of an informal process of just if they have any other questions, or mainly show and tell of successes that we have here at the health department. We've been through this many times. Nancy has coordinated it along with Karen Kirstein in the past, and so they're quite familiar with the process, and I have no concern that we will continue to maintain our level 3 status. Remember, these are questions like, what's the education of the health officer, your public health nurses, do they all have a bachelor's in nursing? Are you meeting all of those state statutes that we're doing communicable disease investigation and all the statutes that are required, the regulations, the ordinances through the environmental with the inspections of restaurants with through our aging status and any other processes that we need to do, continue to do as a health department. The environmental, they were looking to seek approval for changes in their Chapter 16 ordinance, and they were, that was fully approved, all of the increase in fees and some of the adjustments to the process for Chapter 16. And right now, Mark is in the process of hiring a public health tech, and I think we're waiting for the gentleman to start after he finishes his degree in May.
So, we're going to let him start beforehand.
Oh, that's right.
We're just waiting for results from his physical.
Okay.
And if we can get him a couple of days a week until he graduates, and
okay,
then he'll
super.
Be full-time.
And then he'll be full-time. Wonderful. As Megan mentioned, our ASK plan site visit, May 16th. Nursing has been busy with new people. Gwen, you want to introduce some visitors we have here?
We have two new staff. Lori Peters, who will be working as a prenatal care coordinator and a team leader for our expansion of our home visitation program. She has just a wealth of educational background and clinical background as a hospital labor and delivery, and we just bode well to be a part of our team. I'm really happy to have her. And Susan Samuels will be a home visitation nurse here, also with very strong OB background, and will be working in our home visitation program as well.
Some updates on grants. We submitted an RFA for the collaborative for our maternal child health program, the infant mortality program with Kenosha Life Course. We are also looking at our Healthy Wisconsin Partnership Program, the Suicide Prevention Initiative. Last week we had an anti-heroin summit at Mahone School. I don't know if any of you were there. I know Supervisor Dodge was there. I saw him leaving, didn't get to say hello. But we had about 125 people, which is a strong presentation for Kenosha. And given that Thursday night, there was a few other things going on besides the vigil for Reverend Wonders, and then Dr. Fullen had a presentation on nutrition that evening also. But it was a panel of very knowledgeable individuals. We had our medical examiner that was there. Sergeant Staples from the Sheriff's Department was there. We had Mr. Carlson from the Fire Department. Dr. Katie from the Fire Department spoke. And then we also had an addictive psychiatrist, a psychiatrist who works with addicted individuals. And I didn't quite get his name. I don't know if anyone knew who that was. And then we also had the Department of Justice was there. They collaborated with us, and we had two individuals, one a parent who spoke in regards to losing her son who had been addicted to heroin for a long period of time. I think he may have started on cocaine as a teenager. And then we also had an individual who just graduated from drug court, and he presented on his personal story and his gratefulness for being able to have completed and graduated through drug court. And I think it went longer than we had thought, but it was such a wealth of information. And so we may be putting on another one at some other point in time in order to educate the community in regards to the unintentional poisoning deaths that are occurring and a high number of them that are due to the heroin, the use of heroin, which is now cheaper than marijuana, straight. Also, with our Transform Wisconsin grant, we were notified that the CDC was not going to continue those grants. That was, we were fortunate to receive the three different areas for Transform Wisconsin, which was the gardens for the kids, smoke-free in multi-housing units, and also looking at joint use agreements with schools and the community in order to use their gymnasiums in the evening. There were six Transform Wisconsins in the state of Wisconsin, and those six counties are looking to potentially do some cross-jurisdictional sharing if there's some funds that come out. So more to follow on that. The state asthma control and prevention program is seeking to renew their five-year grant through the Center for Disease Control, and they've asked Kenosha to partner with them and pilot some aspects of their proposal. They're looking to have a navigator in Kenosha. This navigator would work with the hospital systems to work towards reducing the number of ER visits and hospitalizations in the pediatric population mainly, but potentially the elderly, because we have a high hospitalization rate for the elderly, but sort of do some coordination of care, and then also a half-time case manager to be working with the providers in the community, the hospital systems, again, looking at trying to do some wraparound continuation of care with the goal of reducing ER and the hospitalization in patients. We'll be working closely with the Kenosha Community Health Center and referring to them for clients that don't have physicians, can't obtain one, or that they need any assistance in regards to case management. Let's see, I think we just have one public health nurse position to fill. I think I mentioned last time that one of our nurses went to Abbott, and we have that position to fill. And the public health tech position to fill. So that's it. Any questions?
When you had your accreditation program out here the other day, mm-hmm. there was a YouTube thing. Would you mention that one to the group here?
Well, they had several YouTube we had a Prezi presentation, which not only showed all of our programs and services that we provide, but also there was several YouTube presentations. One was the Fly Effect, which is a national presentation in regards to addressing heroin reduction, the tragedy of heroin addiction, especially on families, not only to the individual. The other was, is that the one you were thinking of?
Soul
Pancake. Soul Pancake, which is,
Soul Pancake too, yeah.
Yes, was, Doc was Kid President.
Kid President.
And so he did the 20 nice things to do, and really, it's kind of reflecting on kind of being good to your neighbor, you know, please, thank you, kindness. One of his, you can say thank you with corn dogs, and you know, if you have barbecue sauce in your shirt.
It's a great YouTube, it's quick, it's
yes,
nice for kids to see it.
Yes.
It's short and sweet, to the point.
But adults too, you can really relay to the humor.
Right.
You know, if before you tell someone they have barbecue sauce, you better look if you have barbecue sauce on your shirt first, you know. Just real
well
kind
done.
Of subtle, cute humor. And then there was one other YouTube, but you've drawn a blank too.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone else remembers it. This is the test. See, we're all. It's but thank
good.
You for bringing that up.
That's good. The program was good.
Thank you. And so, you know, there was people were really attentive and watching the information that we were portraying. How could I forget that? Last week was a National Public Health Week. And so that's why we held our event during National Public Health Week and decided to do like a health fair for our community. And we had a YouTube video on public health is everywhere. And so again, kind of just showing all of the magic of public health. When the community is safe and healthy, public health is doing its job, the water is safe, and the food that you consume is safe, and And so we strive to work to keep that going. More to follow. I think our next meeting will be having presentations on the health rankings that came out. And so Stacy will be doing a presentation. She's collecting the information. And then she'll also be doing the health department annual report. So she'll be presenting both those items. Thanks, John.
Any other questions for Cindy? Okay. Corporate counsel report?
I have nothing to report.
Other businesses allowed by law. And so, I guess I would take a motion to adjourn. We can, so.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for the presentation.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
I know. Thank you very much. We have one more plaque for those who have said, thank you.
Maybe I'm wrong. You're another human pride.
Thanks, sir. Sure, for the public health foundation. Stand on the back. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Glad you mentioned that.
I'm going to have fun with that.
I came in and I said, you got to call her because I knew.
And this kid was on Ellen Jenner's show with the mother. But you gotta watch it. It's just fun.
It sounds good.
Coming from a 3-year-old, it's hysterical.
Listen, Linda. I'm gonna write that down. Listen, Linda.
Okay. Listen, Linda.
We can learn from children, that's for sure. Yeah.
I just put this in there.
Yeah. Honesty is something else.
That was a sandwich. It had a sandwich bread instead of a big heavy bun or whatever, you know? Yeah.
Which one did you get?
The smoked turkey. It was good.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, excellent.
Good. You do a good job.
All right. Bye-bye.
Nice shirts and sweet.
Yep.
Boy, we like them.
But productive.